Welcome to Autism Knows No Borders, a podcast where people connected to autism inspire change and build community. Together with the Global Autism Project, I'm your host, Rachel Harmon, a professional with over a decade of experience in the field of autism services, outreach, and advocacy. Has anyone close to you needed support after receiving their child's autism diagnosis? Or maybe you yourself are the parent of a child with autism. If so, you might have felt overwhelmed or isolated when trying to decide what's best for their future. Professionals like today's guest, Catherine Peterson, empower parents to recognize that they are the true experts of their children so that they can confidently make the best decisions for their family. Catherine is a board-certified behavior analyst and the founder of Two Steps Forward Consulting, a company offering early intervention coaching to help parents navigate the system. In this second half of my conversation with Catherine, we discuss how Catherine determines her client's success, Catherine's involvement with the Global Autism Project and what she's learned about leadership, how she applies the Global Autism Project's motto, "Do with, not for," in her current practice, and tips for families starting their autism journeys. In this episode, discover what's possible when you trust your gut. And now, I present you Catherine Peterson. Can you share a success story that you've had with one of your families?
Yes. So a success story that I have is really any family I work with who I can see the difference in their stress level is a big success to me. I would say the biggest one that really has come early in this journey of mine and really helped as a catalyst for me is one of the families that I worked with came to me and the mom was really stressed out, really upset, had been kind of at her end with how hard the system had been because she'd been looking on internet and seeing all the things about early intervention and how important early intervention is and all the differences it makes for kids. And then she sat on wait lists. And she sat on a wait list for a diagnosis, and she sat on a wait list for ABA. And by the time I talked to her, she said, "I've just been trying for so long to help my son, and it's out of my control." And then talking about how scared she was for the future, and she didn't know what it looked like, and she doesn't even know anything about autism, and what is his future looking like? And I sat and talked to her and tried to explain from my perspective and experience and everything I've learned from other families that I've worked with over the years. And in talking to her in, you know, a few meetings down the road, she said to me, "It was so reassuring to talk to you. And the way that you made me feel was that autism's not so scary. And just the way you talked about it made a difference to me because I was just in mourning, basically." And she said that talking to me made her realize that autism can be beautiful and that there can be so many awesome things that are in her future and in her son's future that she couldn't even get past that first diagnosis and first feeling of guilt and fear to be able to see. And you know, I've worked with so many families and I can see what that future looks like. And if I can help parents know that there is a different future than they thought for their son or daughter, but that that future can be great and can be beautiful and all the things that their child can do, that to me is enough to keep trying to figure out how to work with more and more families as I grow. Because that's, you know, what made me want to start this in the first place is wanting parents to feel more confident, empowered, and just comfortable with their family and their son or daughter and what that future looks like for them.
Oh, that is so nice. Yeah. And I think sometimes parents need to hear it from someone else. You know, someone that they trust, right? And someone with those years of experience, because it can be really isolating, right? If they maybe don't know anyone else with autistic kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no support that they can turn to where they can see, okay, it turned out fine for them.
Yeah. And I think for parents who, like you mentioned, it's their first experience with autism. And it's the first experience for a lot of their family, maybe for their parents and for their siblings and their kids. And so they're getting a lot of advice and opinions from people who also are still learning everything. And so I think being able to find someone who has that knowledge and understanding of everything, but also the experience of so many families that I've worked with, and so much of what I share with the families that I have as clients is what I've learned from these other families in the past. I'm not the expert as a parent. I'm not a parent of a child with autism. So I don't know exactly what it's like, but I can tell you what I've heard from other parents, and I can work to connect you with resources in your community, which is huge. Going to those support groups or coffee meetups or even the Facebook groups that you can find can just make such a difference for parents to feel like they're not alone, that there are other people who have walked this journey, and there's people who are further down the journey than them who can help provide guidance and support of, it's really overwhelming right now, it gets better. And that makes such a difference to them and their overall mental health.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Catherine, I'd like to switch gears and talk about your involvement with Global Autism Project over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, just kind of walk us through your journey and, like, you know, how you started as a Skill Corps volunteer and eventually your role later on.
Yeah. So I found the Global Autism Project just Googling things like travel BCBA, because I knew I wanted to travel and I had heard of all these other programs for other professions where they got to travel for their work. And I was like, there has to be something similar for, you know, BCBAs. So I found Global Autism Project and first traveled in 2016. I went to the Dominican Republic on my first trip and immediately fell in love with the organization and just with everything Global Autism Project. So I traveled a couple more times. I went to Kenya and then immediately was, okay, I'm going to apply for the leadership training. I want to lead trips. This is great. I love this. So I applied, did the leadership training, and then pretty much anything that Global Autism Project put out as a volunteer option, I applied for. So after I had led a trip, I'd been in Indonesia, the Discovery Fellows was announced, and it was to help work with applicants of partner sites and work through who would be viable candidates for partnership. And so I had talked to a couple potential sites, and the really exciting part of that role was that I got to go on the Discovery trip to Ecuador. So the Discovery trip is that trip of, we think that this is going to be a great partner site. Let's go out, meet the staff, see the site, and just do that in-person visit to make sure that this is a great organization and agency to move forward with. And so I went to Ecuador with one other fellow, and it was awesome. And we learned so much about them and ended up, that's a current partner site. So that role I thought was really cool, learning about the history of how you find those viable partner sites. And then Molly announced the regional coordinator position. And this was when she was trying to figure out ways, and the organization wanted to find ways to really work with sites on an ongoing basis. So between those Skill Corps visits, how are we maintaining that relationship and that level of consultation. And so again, I was like, oh, another opportunity. Let me apply for this one too. So I was lucky and got the role of the regional coordinator. I worked with the Dominican Republic and with the site in Ecuador. I got to travel down there a couple times, a few times, and get to do some of those in-person visits and between the skill core visits. So I was traveling alone down there and then getting to work with the partners down there. So that's been my journey with Global Autism Project. It's been great. And I just always was so excited for the new developments and new roles and just always interested in applying for those.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you and I worked closely together that year in 2019 as part of that regional coordinator team.
Yep.
And yeah, having like weekly meetings, weekly check-ins. It was like a different time now that I think about it, like pre-pandemic. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was so good for our partners to have that ongoing support and just like their point person that they could have throughout in between skill core trips.
Yeah. And I felt like I had such a great relationship with Kakia Moffer, and I mean, I talked to them weekly. Mm-hmm. And so it was so cool to see the progress of those sites and everything that they were doing in their countries. And I mean, I loved my time doing the regional coordinator. I just thought it was very fulfilling for me.
Yeah, agreed. So Catherine, from, you know, your time with Global Autism Project, what did you learn that you're now applying with your new business venture and how you're helping families?
It's a great question. For me, I think one of the biggest ones is do with, not for. I think that's something that I really learned in Global Autism Project and my work in other countries, is that there's so much that I can bring to the discussion, but whoever I'm working with brings just as much, if not more. And I think especially when you're working with other people in other countries, it's all the same. You know, people have what matters to them and what is life-changing for them. And when I work with a family, I don't want to go in and just tell you everything to do. I don't want to say, this is the roadmap for your child's therapy, just like I wouldn't do that when I'm working with someone in another country. I can say, here's what I've learned. Here's the knowledge I have. How do you think that that fits with you and with your child and with your community? And giving them the tools that they can find the right path for them too. There are certain therapies that are huge time commitments, and maybe that's not going to work for every family. Or, you know, we just were talking about IEPs. Some families choose not to put their kid in school until they're a little bit older, and they choose just more intensive therapy. There's no right or wrong for how someone wants to pick their child's journey and path of therapies in school and what their home life looks like. There's usually siblings around and involved, and they need to be considered when you're coming up with these plans. And so my do with, not for, when I work with families is, let me just help you. Let me just give you the tools and the confidence that you can make these choices, and that when you come down later down the road, you have the tools to make those decisions for your family, and you don't always feel like you need someone just telling you the next steps and what to do. And then the second big one is really, we talk a lot about the priorities Venn diagram. So, you know, the one circle is my priorities, the other circle is the family's priorities, and then that overlap is what's going to be sustainable. So I can tell you, you know, what therapies have evidence and what therapies have worked for other families, and those might be my priorities. And then the family can tell me what is really important to them and what goals they really want to work on and what would make those differences in their family's lives 6 months down the road. And then how can we kind of join our knowledge and opinions to find that piece of what's really going to be sustainable for that child? Because that's the bottom line of why we're having these discussions in the first place, is what is going to be the best road for that child. And that's really that overlap and sustainable or difference making. So I think of the Venn diagram a lot when I'm working with families too.
Mm. Yeah. And something you mentioned earlier also about the parents being the experts, right? Like It's something we say at the Global Autism Project all the time about our partners, that they are the local experts and really know what's best for their families that they work with in their community, with their cultures and cultural norms. So the same thing with what you're saying about working with families, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I don't know what your family's culture is. And some families, you know, really want to work on getting out in the community. That's so important to them. They travel a lot. They just like to be out and about. And some families are more comfortable in the home and they want to work on things that really build independence or things within the home setting. And I don't know that. I'm not the expert in what matters to a family. And so they're the experts and they can help guide therapy and pick what really matters. If you want to work on practicing going to Target, let's do it. But some families are like, I'm fine not working on that right now because I really want to focus on bath time. It's so stressful for me. So I think just being really aware of the fact that I have a lot of experience professionally, but I can't just tell people what to do because, number one, it's not sustainable. It's not going to make a difference for long in the future. And second of all, my goal isn't to tell you what matters. My goal is to help you with what you tell me matters.
Hey there, Rachel here. Do you know anyone else who might benefit from this episode? For instance, a parent in the early stages of receiving an autism diagnosis for their child. If you'd like to support them, you can share this episode directly when you're done listening. But for now, back to the conversation. And so, you know, with Do With Not For and the Venn diagram, what else have you learned about leadership? You've led some trips, and from that position as a regional coordinator, was there any kind of personal growth from Global Autism Project that helped you in taking this leap as well?
Yeah. You know, I love when we do personality tests or leadership style tests. I'm always very interested in that. But one thing I really learned from leadership is that my leadership style is very heavy on the empathetic, analytical axis. And so I know that I can sit back, really think through things, and that I'm very empathetic in how I lead. On the flip side, I've learned that the action kind of steps is where I struggle more. I myself can get an analysis paralysis, which maybe is why it took me so long to really feel comfortable taking that leap. But I think it's really great to be aware of that and to know when I have to say to myself, okay, you have enough options. You just need to pick one and take a step forward in this business decision. Or knowing, okay, I can be really empathetic, which is such a strength, but can lead to a point where it's, okay, I have to make a decision or I have to give feedback to an employee in something that's maybe uncomfortable. And just that awareness, which really I feel like was refined through my work at Global Autism Project, because you're working with so many different people with so many different personality styles and ways that they prefer to receive feedback. And then you're throwing them in another country where they're also in this vulnerable, sometimes uncomfortable state. And so just that awareness of here's where my strengths are. Here's where I have things that I can work on. And how can I take that and apply it to working with this person who has these styles of learning and feedback and their personality? And so that flexibility of knowing myself and then learning to work with what I've learned about the people that I'm working with too.
Mm, yeah. Paying attention to both things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, Catherine. So your company is called Two Steps Forward Consulting. Why did you choose that name?
Yes. Two Steps Forward Consulting. I picked because the journey and navigating life with an autistic child or with a family member with autism is that it's not always these linear steps. And so it's kind of that two steps forward, one step back, but it's taking away that one step back. That two steps forward is still two steps forward. And they might be small steps and they might have pauses between steps, but that's okay. The goal is that we're just going to work together to kind of have that momentum towards making progress and getting closer to that feeling of comfort in your child and in for your child to feel that comfort in their lives. And so I really saw it as, let's take these steps together and I'll hold your hand and you can do it. And it might be small to start, but that's what's going to be manageable at this point in time. And that's perfect.
Okay, nice. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so to close with one last question, what general advice would you give to families? Maybe they're just starting out on their journey right now. If they could just have one takeaway from you, what would it be?
My biggest takeaway for families is, I mean, I know I've been saying it a lot, but they're the expert. Trust their gut. I think what I hear a lot is that families will say, I started to notice some things. I always had this gut feeling that there was something. But when I brought it up to friends or the doctor, everyone said, oh, just wait and see. And I think parents' gut is so strong. And if you feel that there's something going on with your child, maybe you're seeing some delays or missed milestones, feel comfortable to advocate and, you know, write down in your phone notes of things that you see your child doing of concern, or take videos of things your child is doing, different routines, or, you know, if there's any behaviors, get little video clips and have an album in your phone so that you have this backup when you talk to your pediatrician. If it's a pediatrician who's not super familiar with those early signs and they say, oh yeah, just let's wait and see, your child might grow out of some of these things. That's true. But having that evidence, because your child sees the pediatrician for a couple minutes, or even an assessment and an evaluation for autism is time limited and it's a different setting. So your child might act differently than what you see at home because they're in this unfamiliar environment. So I think that for families to really feel that empowerment to trust themselves and to trust their gut and to get this evidence along the way, to just be able to show it to the professionals and have that as a backup instead of just that one observation. But I think just knowing that parents, you are the expert in your child. And if you have a feeling that there's something going on and potential autism, trust it and push for it. And it's okay to say, I'd really like to get an evaluation. And it's okay to say, I disagree with waiting, if that is some of the advice that they tend to get.
Mm, okay. Yeah. So important. Just knowing what their rights are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, that there's always second opinions. You can always get that. So if someone tells you, whoever in your journey with your child, if you disagree with it, you can always get a second opinion in whatever realm you're in.
If you liked this episode, I encourage you to share it with someone else who can benefit from it. By doing so, you'll help them feel supported and help us improve access to services worldwide. Thanks for tuning in to Autism Knows No Borders. Take care.